Brothers and sisters, our readings today speak a lot about material wealth and how we put it to use. And if we take these readings seriously, we should all feel a little uncomfortable. And I say this because many of us here, myself included, are among the wealthiest people to ever walk this planet. And yet, many of us have become complacent in our wealth. And thus the words from the prophet Amos seem to be addressed every bit as much to us as they are to the people in Zion. As we contemplate the passage from our first reading, I think it's important to pay attention to that very first line. Thus says the Lord God of hosts. Immediately, Amos is telling us that the words that he's about to speak are not his words. In fact, if you read the entire book of the prophet Amos, you'll find that Amos didn't even want to be a prophet. He didn't want to speak these words. So we know these words aren't simply a matter of Amos giving us some kind of practical advice. Rather, these words come directly from God, the ruler of the heavenly army. And here's what God has to say. Woe to the complacent in Zion. When we hear the word woe in the Bible, we need to pay careful attention. Being cursed with a biblical woe is not a good thing. And it's even more serious if it's coming from God himself. This is God's way of sending a clear message to his people. Shape up, or really bad things are going to start to happen. You know, make no doubt about it, this is scarier than when mom says, "Don't make me come up there." The people in Zion had become complacent, and they'd evoked God's anger. The prophet said that they stretched themselves out. They drink wine and anoint themselves with fine oils, all the while giving no concern to the collapse of their state, of the state of Joseph, which was in great disarray. Now, it might be easy for us to look at these readings in light of the current situation in our own government and the fighting over budget concerns and debt ceilings. But I think these readings address more than Mr. Leary and all those in politics. They address each of us as individuals. How complacent are we as individuals? How many of us are going to go home from Mass today and be stretched out comfortably on our couches while people all over the world suffer? How many of us are really made ill by the collapse of Joseph, by the sufferings of millions of people in our world today? Friends, I once heard a homily preached on these readings that we heard today, and it was a two-sentence homily. And the priest who delivered the homily said, and I'm going to make this family-friendly tonight, but you'll get the point. He said, "There are millions of people starving in the world, and most people don't give a darn. And more of you are offended that I use the word darn in a homily than that there are millions of people starving in the world." That's pretty powerful stuff. Friends, if God's words spoken by the prophet Amos aren't enough to make you a little bit uncomfortable in your complacency, then listen to the parable in today's gospel. Jesus tells us of a rich man who had nice clothes and plenty of food to eat. And every day, sitting right outside his door, was a poor man named Lazarus. Now, right away, we can see that this parable is addressed to us, with us being the rich man. You see, by not giving the rich man a name, we're meant to assign our own name to the rich man. We're meant to identify with this unnamed rich man in the story. So we're meant to hear this as, "There once was a man named Father Brian who had nice clothes and plenty of food." Lazarus, of course, is the one whom we ignore. He's the one who suffers while we sit at table and eat. He's the one whose dignity is disgraced, having dogs lick his wounds, while we're stretched out comfortably on our couches. In other words, Jesus' warning is the same warning that God delivered through the prophet Amos. If you don't wake up from your complacency, then bad things will happen. In the first reading, God warns the people that they shall be the first to go into exile, and their wanton revelry shall be done away with. In Jesus' parable, the rich man was sent to the netherworld, where he was in torment. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that none of us wants to have our revelry done away with, and that none of us wants to end up in torment in the netherworlds. You know, thanks but no thanks, Monty, I'll take what's behind door number two, please. So what's behind door number two? Happiness. Eternal life with God. Well, that sounds pretty good. But here's the catch. You don't get this simply by saying, I'll take what's behind door number two. No, you obtain this by living out the Christian way of life. And one aspect of that way of life is that we are called to take care of our brothers and sisters. In fact, this is part of the point of the Eucharist. When we receive the Eucharist, we're being united to Christ, and we're joined to Christ. And in being joined to Christ, we're called to do what Christ did. We're called to give our lives for those who have been victimized by the powers of sin that rule over our world. We can't be complacent like the people of Zion who enjoyed their lives while the state of Joseph all around them was suffering. We can't overlook the poor sitting at our doorsteps while we dress in designer clothes and eat gourmet meals. The gospel calls us to a radical concern for others, especially those who have been unjustly oppressed. And if we turn a blind eye to them, we'll end up like the rich man in the parable. If we sit comfortably on our couches while others suffer, we'll be the first to be exiled, and our wanton revelry will be done away with. Now, we may correctly observe that we can't solve every problem in the world, but we can be attentive to them. Let me suggest that we need to assess how comfortable we've become, how comfortable we've grown in our lives. And we need to ask, is there anything that we can do to help ease the burden of others? You know, there's no shortage of charities looking for financial support. There's no shortage of agencies that are looking for people to volunteer their time and talents. And there's certainly no shortage of prayer in our world. And as Christians, we're called not to do one of these, but to do all three. We're called to give of our material resources, especially our excess. We're called to give of our time and our talents. And we're called to pray for all people. This week's gospel gives us a great opportunity to take a moment to pause and to assess how well are we doing as individuals and as a community. And if you're doing well, be encouraged and continue knowing that you're on a mission from God, that you're following in a path of discipleship. If you've grown complacent, or if you've grown a little bit lazy, now is a good time to renew your effort. Ask yourself, who can benefit from my talents and my time? What material resources can I give to those in need? How can I incorporate others into my prayer? There's no one right answer to these questions, but there is a wrong answer. The wrong answer is to put it off, to become complacent. Don't wait for another sign. You have the law and the prophets and the Christian tradition. So put your faith into action. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who act upon their faith.